These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It is the eve of the 2025 NFL Draft. We are just over 24 hours away from the NFL Draft beginning. The opening night, the opening round, all taking place in the shadows of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We will look at what the odds say right here, right now, more than 24 hours away. Because is the picture we are seeing right now the exact one we will see take place tomorrow? We will discuss the biggest movements. Ashton Jeudjenty on the rise. A top five running back once again. Shedeur Sanders on the slide. What is being said about Shedeur Sanders' stock and where might he end up in round one if it's even still round number one? All of those draft conversations, your NFL draft headquarters, if you will, live right here, Joe, on draft eve this Wednesday on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, live from the mothership. This is what it's all about, right? We have you locked and loaded for NFL draft coverage tomorrow night, so we'll be there. You're right. Yep. We're starting to hear, like, you know, more hype surrounding some of these storylines. Is it just window dressing? Or is it just to get a story out? You know, we were so quiet in the offseason about, you know, the top four or five selections in terms of this draft. We knew it would be Cam Ward and then, you know, Shedeur Sanders mentioned. And then we went through this lull period of about a month or two where, you know, we just didn't hear anything. And now, with about less than 24 hours away, Ben, all of a sudden, over the past week, all of these stories are starting to break, you know, from multiple NFL reporters. Where were these storylines like at the combine, and where were they, about a month and a half out? Now these people are starting to pump this up like we should be excited. Honestly, I don't think Jackson Dart will be in the top 10. I don't think Shedeur Sanders will fall to number 21 or out of the first round. Ashton Jeudjenty potentially will be a top five pick. Outside of that, I don't see any excitement, you know, in terms of the top three.
It's a really good point, Joe. I was talking about that with producer extraordinaire for Sports Grid, Joe Frizzo, earlier. Wow. It felt like during draft week on Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday on draft eve, all of the NFL insiders are starting to let us know all of their reports they're hearing from this team, and sources are telling them this about this prospect, about what this team is planning on doing. Well, the draft process is a very, very long one that really dates back to the end of the NFL season, the Senior Bowl in Mobile in late January, but certainly the NFL Combine in late February and early March. Where has all this conversation been? It's not just these talks happening this week. Why are we just now getting it? So, is it a part of the speculation and smokescreen season? Are they lies? Are they true? Can they be verified? Are organizations telling insiders things they don't actually believe? Or are the odds, Joe, as we have seen them? Because you and I have a unique position doing a football-focused radio show each and every day. And in the football offseason, especially at this time in the calendar, what's one of the main conversation pieces? The NFL draft and the odds that we see. We've been looking at these odds in these various markets for the better part of 2 months. Now we have new markets available that paint a bigger picture of what exactly we are going to see early in the NFL draft. But you and I have been looking at these odds for a long time. We know what they said when they were originally slotted in. Is that the true picture? Because that's the first picture we get? Or is the true picture now with some decisions seemingly being made in the last 48 to 72 hours? I guess that's for us to decipher here on FFC.
Yeah, and, you know, again, just let's take the quarterback situation. Let's take the quarterback situation this year compared to former years, all right? Well, you know, a couple of years ago, it was Will Levis potentially as a top five selection after the pro day, right? It wasn't even, think about how far out that was. Malik Willis, it was at the combine that he was thought of as a potentially a top 10 selection and maybe even, you know, first quarterback off the board. It was less now than a week away. We're getting Jackson Dart. We're getting Tyler Shook. We're getting Jalen Miller. These were quarterbacks that when these mock drafts came out were potentially looked at as second, third, and fourth rounders. And now all of a sudden they're looked at as clear-cut top 15 picks. That's just crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
There is no shot that you can't tell me that these guys now all of a sudden went from, you know, 50th or 60th best on the board to now all of a sudden top 10 with the talent that we do have in terms of the offensive tackle and, more importantly, defensive line position. I just don't buy it.
Lisi, I said we're in a unique position because we host this daily football-focused radio show, right? But we've also been doing this now the last two or three drafts where we understand the conversations, how it correlates to the numbers and the odds and what it ultimately ends up meaning. If you would have followed the odds market 2 years ago in the NFL draft cycle, you might have bet Will Levis to be the first overall pick. He might be out of the league about 3 years later. We saw C.J. Stroud conversations. We are seeing it now with Shedeur Sanders. We saw it last year in the quarterback hype with six QBs going in the first round, a modern draft era record. We have seen all of these things play out. What are we going to see now in the next 24 to 36 hours? I guess that is the conversation. And it's always driven by QBs. QBs cause the most odds movement, draft order movement, and kind of the conversation movement that we are finding. So, Joe, let's start with the quarterback that really, by his lonesome, has been a huge storyline. We're not even talking about the presumed number one overall pick in Cam Ward. He solidified minus 20,000 to be that first overall selection tomorrow night in Green Bay made by the Tennessee Titans. But a report out this morning from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, from an anonymous assistant coach in the NFL, saying that Shedeur Sanders, quote, was the worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. So entitled, takes unnecessary sacks. He has horrible body language. He blames his teammate. And the biggest thing is he's not that good. The end of that quote. Now, we've seen various anonymous reports, Joe, throughout the entirety of the draft cycle over the last many, many NFL drafts that go after a prospect's character or his playing style. One assistant saying that is not going to inform the entirety of the National Football League. One assistant could feel that way. Another assistant, or more importantly, a GM, might think very highly of Shedeur Sanders. But Joe, with that report and the numbers moving on Shedeur Sanders from the odds profile, what do you think this all means for Shedeur Sanders come tomorrow night?
Well, I think that the person that maybe said it was part of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, because, I mean, they're ones that, you know, can gain potentially from, you know, Shedeur falling to right where his number is on FanDuel at 21.5 for an under and over, right? We talked about it throughout the past couple of weeks. I think they have to be more aggressive as opposed to, you know, sitting back and waiting. But, you know, to me, it's just knocking a guy just for the sake of potentially maybe getting him at a bargain value. And I just don't see it. They didn't do that with other quarterbacks. It's odd and ironic that they didn't do it with Trey Lance, that had a multitude of inefficiency and struggles in college. They didn't do it with, obviously, Malik Willis coming in that situation. They certainly didn't do it with Will Levis, right? And they chose to do it with a couple of quarterbacks, Shedeur and C.J. Stroud. And what happened with C.J. Stroud? Houston Texans took him second overall, and he's the starter. I think the same with Shedeur Sanders. I still think he's going in the top five. I think there's going to be a team, whether it be New Orleans, Pittsburgh, or some of the others, that reach up and grab him, and maybe it just might be the Cleveland Browns. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll really dive into what the odds are saying about Shedeur Sanders' stock, and if a slide is already on the eve of the 2025 NFL draft, where he is now predicted to go in the shortest numbers for the teams most likely to draft Sanders. All of that up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle on the eve of the 2025 NFL draft, and maybe the single prospect that could impact how things happen in the opening round tomorrow night in Green Bay, that's Shedeur Sanders. Joe, just earlier this week, Shedeur Sanders was greater than a $2 odds-on favorite to be a top 10 pick. Now, he is not thought of in the top five. Top 10, maybe not even the top 20. The team that is most likely to draft Shedeur Sanders at a plus 170 price as of this Wednesday, the eve of the NFL draft, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers at plus 175. As we have shared, that number on Pittsburgh has grown shorter and shorter and shorter since this market became available at a 17-1 price, but it's now plus 175, the shortest we have seen it. When you pair up those odds with the rest of the odds, including, Joe, maybe most importantly, the draft position prop for Sanders, this is where things get interesting. 21.5. Is that number on Shedeur? The under has the hefty juice at minus 182, but for a guy as recently as 3 days ago that was a hefty favorite to be a top 10 selection, the fact his draft position prop, Joe, is even 21 and a hook says a lot.
It does. So let me ask you, because you're sitting on that ticket with, you know, Shedeur Sanders to potentially go to Pittsburgh, do you really in your heart think that Pittsburgh, he's going to fall to 21? Like, here's the thing. I don't think Pittsburgh, and I've told you this time and time again, they can't afford, their backs are against the wall. They need to make a decision about their quarterback. Yeah, they can go into the season with Mason Rudolph, but you're spinning yourself in neutral if you think you're going to win any games and potentially challenge for a division title and get anywhere closer to an AFC championship than where you were last year. That being said, they have to reach up and grab him. And who's to say that New Orleans still isn't interested in getting Shedeur Sanders? I know that a lot of people in mock drafts have Mikael Williams or Williams from Georgia going there. But who's to say that New Orleans says, you know what, we like him and we'll trade with the Giants or Cleveland respectively and get him? Because those are two teams that are in such a quarterback needy room that they can't afford to mess this up. And there's only two quarterbacks that are worthy of a first round grade, and one of them's going number one overall, Ben.
Yep, absolutely so, Joe. I completely agree. You asked me how I feel about my ticket on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought the Steelers were always in play for Shedeur Sanders because I think as we got around the draft combine, there was some conversation that maybe Sanders, who we all thought would be a top five, top 10 pick, or the second quarterback to go in this NFL draft class, maybe immediately after Cam Ward, was maybe going to fall a little bit. His draft stock was losing a little bit of that luster. So I felt pretty confident in the Steelers being in play, knowing that they had to go after a quarterback at some point this offseason. The dominoes kind of falling around them for the seven teams that we have highlighted this offseason that had to answer a quarterback question really kind of had in some other way. I felt the Steelers would be a front runner for Shedeur Sanders. I bet the price 3 weekends ago now at plus 900 for Pittsburgh to be the team to draft Sanders. Joe, it was a thought that maybe he goes all the way to 21. But that seemed to be the least likely thing for me. I still thought that Pittsburgh would have to trade up somehow, some way, either in front of New Orleans at 9 or at least earlier in the draft to kind of take things in to their own hands. I think what we are seeing right now on the day before the draft, it's most likely for me to cash that ticket. Shedeur Sanders falls all the way to number 21.
I don't see it. I just don't. We'll be covering it, and I know we'll get into the top five, and you know we'll be talking about those teams, and I still think 4 and 5 are in play if the Giants potentially don't trade out at number 3, just because those teams, you know, including, the New England Patriots and Jacksonville are in desperate need of other players outside potentially who's slated there, right? So, you know, I know Genty slated in number 5 overall, but I don't think it moves the needle for them. You know, they can move out of 5, allow the Raiders or somebody else that wants Genty or a top 5 selection move in, and they still have an opportunity to take McMillan or some of the other wide receivers to potentially, benefit them. And that's what I think. If I had a bet, you know, that under and over, and I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I still might take a shot tonight, depending upon what the value is. I think Shedeur top 15, top 10 is still in play by a huge margin. I honestly believe that in my heart.
Yeah, and Lisi, I again don't really knock you in that thought. I do think the odds movement on Shedeur Sanders is insane. There was a time where we thought he was going to be a top 5 pick. Now, he never had a minus money price when that market became available just over a week ago to be a top 5 selection, but closer to plus 150, plus 190, still the realm of possibility he could go top 5. Then for most of the past week and a half, 2 weeks, it seemed as though, Joe, the Saints were the front runner to take Shedeur Sanders. He was a minus money favorite to go top 10. New Orleans drafting at 9. Not a ton of teams in front of them needing a quarterback if the Browns or the Giants had already made their decision not to go QB. Seemed to be a natural and logistical fit for a first-year head coach in Kellen Moore to get his QB of the future. And now the Saints seem to not even be remotely in the running for Shedeur Sanders. As we look at the 9th overall pick odds, Shedeur Sanders doesn't even have one of the 6 best prices, Joe. He is 9-1 to go 9th overall. The Saints, at the start of this week, were plus 105 to be the team to draft Shedeur Sanders. So I'm not sure Pittsburgh needs to even move in front of anybody except remain at number 21 overall to take Shedeur. And that's the crazy part, Joe. If he ends up going top 5 or top 10, I would not be stunned based on what we both believe about him, character assassinations or not. I still believe he is capable of that. I would be surprised, though, based on the odds and the narratives as of today.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great point. But, again, can Pittsburgh afford that? Are they looking at the odds? Right. Or are they looking at, obviously, team need, which is much more glaring right now for both teams?
And it's a great point, right? They still don't want to leave it up to chance. They want to take that into their own control. More on the quarterbacks, some moving markets next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Joe, when this NFL draft process started, it felt like we really only had 2 first-round quarterbacks worthy of that consideration. We thought maybe at a time, with some quarterback-desperate teams drafting 1, 2, and 3, both of those guys could go in the top 2, top 3, maybe the top 5. But with the slide appearing to happen for Shedeur Sanders and his draft stock, it also leads to the idea that if Sanders is falling all the way to 21, and really nobody after the Saints at number 9, and seemingly New Orleans is not all that interested in a QB any longer, then if nobody else needs a quarterback, how are we going to see 3 QBs go in the opening round? Joe, just about 48 hours ago, Jackson Dart was a minus 750 favorite to be a first-round pick. That updated number on Dart, minus 350. Still heavy juice. He's going in the first round. But you do have to wonder, Joe, where exactly could that be? And finally, Lisi guy, a market we have talked about for months on end. that we have projected and predicted what the numbers would look like is now available on NFL Draft Eve. The over-under for the number of quarterbacks taken in round number one. It's only at 2.5, and the over has the juice, but not nearly as much as we expected. It is minus 136. Joe, how many QBs go in round one tomorrow night?
I'm still sticking it to Ben, and I'm going to take the under Jackson Dart. Not under, excuse me, over the 25.5 at minus 134. I think I'm going to do that. I don't believe Milroe, Dart, Shuck sneak into the first round. I just don't see it. I still think the two quarterbacks, and I've said it from the get-go, it's Cam Ward, it's Shador, and everybody else. And again, you know, whether Cam and Shador live up to expectations, only time will tell in terms of that aspect. I could just tell you in terms of what I've seen in terms of the college game, you know, playing in big matchups, yeah. The ability to stay in the pocket and do everything that both of those quarterbacks do, especially against better competition, those are the only two I believe in right now. And again, so I think it's two. I think the under comes in that. And I think, you know, I'm willing to take a shot under for Shador, over for Dart. And then these rumors about six teams or seven teams now being in love with Jalen Milroe, come on. I mean, that now all of a sudden, now with less than 48 hours to go, we're gonna pump up Jalen. And Milroe's a dynamic talent. But now in the 25th hour, we're trying to buy hype with Jalen Milroe. I'm just not buying it.
Yep, some moving markets on Jalen Milroe as well, Joe, who, of course, will be in attendance, at least is scheduled to, for tomorrow night's opening round in Green Bay. Still plus 175 for Milroe to be a first-round pick. Tyler Shuck, the quarterback out of Louisville via Texas Tech and Oregon, the veteran 25-year-old, is also seeing his number get shorter to be a first-round selection, plus 250, but both in plus money as of this moment. Jackson Dart still seems to be that third guy. But, Joe, you mentioned Jackson Dart's draft position over-under. It's a 25.5. The over has a slight bit of juice. You mentioned Jalen Milroe's as well. The over-under is still 38.5. That's more a second-round consideration, even early on day two, if that is going to be the case. What I do find fascinating, Joe, is the team most likely to draft Jackson Dart. That number is now available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And the team with the shortest price at plus 195 is the New York Giants. The team with the second-best price is the New Orleans Saints at plus 240. What we have already shared with you here today on Football Full Circle, the Giants aren't going quarterback at three. It certainly would not be Jackson Dart. The Saints seemingly less likely to go QB at number nine would probably be Shador Sanders before Jackson Dart, but more than likely neither of those two guys. So if the Giants and the Saints have the shortest prices to draft Jackson Dart, well, then you would look at the Giants at 34th overall in the second round, and the Saints already reportedly trying to move up with their second round pick at 40th overall right now. Could either of those two teams move up the draft board, either back into the late end, Joe, of that first round or the second round? But frankly, the only way I think Jackson Dart is a first rounder at this point is somebody trades back into the end of round one to get him tomorrow night.
And we talked about Cleveland, right? 33rd overall. I mean, that's the perfect team to do it. You're not, you know, if you're Kansas City, the Eagles, it doesn't hurt to move one selection to get draft picks.
Yep, no doubt about it. That valuable draft capital. We'll continue to talk QBs and RBs, that being the running backs, and Ashton Jeanty next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Are we really only going to see two quarterbacks hear their name called on Thursday night in round number one of the 2025 NFL draft? There is a thought that could be the case. Cam Ward, first overall. And then where is Shador Sanders going? What might happen to Jackson Dart? J. Jalen Milroe and Tyler Shough. Not really, right? I would be stunned if either of those guys go in the opening round. But what I find fascinating, Joe, is the over-under number on the number of quarterbacks in round number one. It is 2.5. The over has the slight bit of juice at -136. But why would the over-under 2.5 only be juiced at -136 to the over if Jackson Dart is a -350 favorite still to be a first-round pick? That's what I find fascinating. I think the number that is off is Jackson Dart. That strong of a favorite to be a first-round selection.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I agree. It's off. But here's the thing. You know, could Dart be a first-round selection outside the teams that we're already discussing? Can he be a flyer to potentially like Cleveland that, you know, gets in terms of the top 31 or 32? Or could it be a team like at 26, the LA Rams looking for assurance or a backup for Matt Stafford, right? That's always an option. Dart right now, right? If you look at him, he's -370, down from 750. I just don't see it. I'm taking this bet to the over in terms of Jackson Dart, just because, you know, I think he's going to be a quarterback that we're talking about on day two and day maybe even day three. You know, I just don't see it. Again, he's not any different than some of the other good quarterbacks that we've seen that have impressed at the combine and were still taking second and third and even fourth rounds of previous drafts, Ben.
Yeah, and listen, Joe, I completely agree, right? And I find it fascinating for a team like the Rams. Draft position prop 25.5 for Dart, who drafts 26th overall. That would be the LA Rams. Of course, they know their time with Matthew Stafford is limited. Would they expend, though, a valuable first-round pick on a quarterback for the future who maybe they're not even all that sold on when they are win now, trying to capitalize on a small Super Bowl or NFC championship window with their veteran quarterback? I wouldn't think so. It's not like the Rams have a plethora of first-round picks in their organization on the roster. Last year was the first time they drafted in the first round since 2016. They selected Jared Verse, made good on that as defensive rookie of the year. But I think they're looking for those instant impact contributors, Joe. Maybe not a project for the next 2 to 3 seasons if/when Matthew Stafford decides to call it a career. I would bet the over on Jackson Dart. And I do think it is more likely, Joe, he ends up going early second round. But I think the way he becomes a first rounder is not any of the teams originally slotted late 20s, early 30s. It's the Giants, the Browns, the Saints trading up into the ending portion of that first round from their early second round slot to draft Jackson Dart. Joe, outside of the QBs, let's talk running backs. The big move that we have seen outside of the Shedeur Sanders slide on this NFL draft eve is Ashton Jeanty, who is now a minus money favorite to be the 5th overall pick at -135. The Heisman runner-up out of Boise State with a historic season last year in 2024 in college football is now a -135 favorite to go 5th overall. Lisi, if Jacksonville ends up making that decision tomorrow night, is it the correct one?
No. No, it's not. And it's not a knock on Jeanty or you know, his ability. I just don't believe Jacksonville's in desperate need of a running back to carry them over the top. They lose Christian Kirk. They release Evan Ingram. They have wide receiver needs that I think can make them a little bit better and more competitive. I understand they have defensive needs as well, but I don't think Ashton Jeanty moves the needle, especially when you have Tank Bigsby that you took a couple of years ago and proved his value in running the football. I mean, Tank Bigsby is definitely RB number one this year, and sprinkle in Travis Etienne, I think they're fine at the running back position. I think they need more wide receiver help outside of Brian Thomas to potentially pull them over the top. If you're telling me they traded out in number 5 to get to, like, you know, 9 or 10 in that area, and you still draft McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, you're still in a better position than what you were if you take Genty. No, I just don't think it's a major need for them right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Joe. They have Travis Etienne on the final year of his rookie deal. He has not signed a contract extension. I would be surprised if that is going to be the case. You mentioned Tank Bigsby. He's there as well. Liam Cohen, first-year head coach, offensive guru, needs to reinvigorate the career of Trevor Lawrence first and foremost. So I guess it does make sense. Hey, if you're going to try to become an offensive juggernaut under Cohen, then this is how you do it. You add an Ashton Genty who can be that good. I think he is worthy of a top five pick. I'm not sure Jacksonville is the right one to be making that selection. You would think, though, Joe, if you want the best out of Trevor Lawrence in the second year of his contract extension, really the first year of his contract extension, but the second year since he has signed that new second deal following his rookie contract, really when that comes down to is not just putting up 40 points per game, but going 6-11. That comes with being a 10-7 playoff team to highlight the best of your young quarterback. You would almost think that Jacksonville, whose roster is depleted in so many spots, with a win total entering 2025 of 7.5, the best way to get over that number, Joe, is not a running back, even if he is as good as Ashton Genty. It's filling out the rest of the roster around the offense, certainly around the backfield. But it does seem as though right now, with this late steam, the Jaguars are drafting Genty 5th overall.
Yeah, it's crazy. Again, you know, I just wanted to double check the depth chart, right? So outside of Brian Thomas, yeah, Parker Washington, okay, yeah. Good wide receiver from Penn State, right? Deami Brown that comes over from Washington, you know, hot and cold. You know, one game he's great. The next game he doesn't have a catch with Jaden Daniels at the helm. You know, you have Strange the tight end with Johnny Munt. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You're telling me, you know, McMillan in that yeah. offense, with outside of Brian Thomas, you have two big wide receivers, physical, you know, could stretch defenses over the top. Now you open up the – you don't even need a dynamic running back, Ben, right? You have two elite wide receivers, 4-4, 4-4 speed on opposite sides. You run off the secondary, you'll have running lanes for both of those guys. You don't need Ashton Genty there. And if you want to protect Trevor Lawrence, we talked about the depth of the offensive tackle and even the offensive line position, with multiple players in this draft that could solidify that offensive line. Genty might go top five, but I'll bang this drum. It's not to Jacksonville.
It's interesting, Joe, because I think that's another part of the conversation. We have talked often about how hefty the favorites are. Cam Ward 1, Travis Hunter 2, Abdul Carter 3 to round out that top three. But could the Patriots and the Jags maybe look to be that first team to trade in the 2025 NFL draft order? Perhaps. Will Campbell still close to a $4 minus money favorite to go 4th overall to the Patriots? That would seem to make a lot of sense. You've got Drake May in place. You've got Mike Vrabel trying to turn around the organization he won Super Bowls for. Let's go bolster up that offensive line to protect our biggest asset in Drake May. But Jacksonville, well, if they're just trying to add a ton of pieces to the roster, couldn't they trade out and get more draft capital in return? But then, Joe, I guess the other angle of that questioning is, would a team actually trade up into the top five to get a running back, even if Ashton Genty is as good as we have seen? If he goes top five, he would be the first running back to go top five since Saquon Barkley went second overall in 2018. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, Ashton Genty, now a minus 135 favorite to go 5th overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is that what the Jags are going to do? We debate. Lisi guy, over under for the amount of running backs drafted in the first round, not including Ashton Genty. Just make sure that is a part of what we are seeing here. No, total number of running backs in round one, even including Ashton Genty, is it 2.5? And the under has the heavy juice at minus 278. those two running backs, Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton. Is that it?
Yeah, no. I like Travion Henderson, and I even like Quinshon Judkins. So if the under has the juice of minus 278, then it pays to bet Travion Henderson at a 2-to-1 price, right? I mean, yeah. You're not going to lay out, you know, almost 300 to make 100, right? You're better to take Travion Henderson or sprinkle a little on Quinshon Judkins. And I just say that because both of those players are a little bit different. Henderson's the home run hitter, a little shorter, a better pass catcher, right? The explosive home run guy that can take it from point A to point B, great vision. And Judkins is a player that obviously transferred from Ole Miss, great vision, great yards after contact, bigger frame, yeah, stronger, you know, much like a, you could say, Najee Harris in terms of that body type. So again, it all depends, you know. I would make it that way. Take a shot on both of those Ohio State running backs, because I still believe, even though Judkins isn't getting the type of hype that Travion Henderson is, he's worthy of a first-round talent from a running back position. So 25-1 isn't a bad choice, Ben.
No, it's certainly not, Joe. And right now, the number on Travion Henderson to be a first-round pick is minus 125. So again, it's kind of like the disparity we are seeing for the amount of quarterbacks to go in round one, the minus 350 price on Jackson Dart, and the numbers here. Well, if the under has the heavy juice at minus 278, and we feel pretty confident that Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton are going to be first-round picks. Hampton's draft position prop, by the way, over under 20.5. We'll talk about the UNC running back in just a moment. If you think Travion Henderson can make it three first-round RBs, then you should really bet the over of that number, not the minus 125 on Henderson being a first-round pick. Hampton this prop, Joe, 20.5. The under has the pretty significant juice, around minus 182. The team that is most likely to draft Omarion Hampton, the Denver Broncos, at plus 105. To me, that makes so much sense. The Broncos draft 20th overall. What was the biggest issue for Denver in year number two under Sean Payton in the very successful rookie campaign for Bo Nix? They couldn't run the ball worth a lick. If you are going to go after a running back, I think Omarion Hampton at 20th makes a ton of sense. So the team to draft Omarion Hampton, plus 105 being the Denver Broncos, really, really stacks up to me.
Yeah, and you know, you just talk about the other running backs in terms of North Carolina that have been in the league, right? Michael Carter, Javonte Williams with Denver, right? So another North Carolina running back. So just think about that. Now, Omarion Hampton has great size. You know, he's a very productive running back. You're not asking him to take over and be a Saquon type of guy. They have playmakers at young wide receivers and a playmaker in Bo Nix that is a very mobile quarterback. He just has to be that cherry on top, and it fits that type of mentality for Denver, right? He's a guy that can get out on the edge. He has good vision. I don't believe he has as great a vision as some of the other guys, like Travion and Quinshon Judkins. But again, in Denver's offense, I think he'd be very productive. That's a tough call, though, because, again, we've seen a different role to running backs, right? And even though Denver needs a running back, there might be another team that reaches up and grabs them as well.
Yeah, it could be, Joe. And that's really where kind of things stand. If a team does reach up and get Omarion Hampton before the Broncos, would they consider a Travion Henderson, a Quinshon Judkins? We shall see. The first position drafted by the Broncos, that market, minus 150 for a running back to be that first position drafted by Denver. Joe, a couple of positional battles to be the first wide receiver, first O-lineman, first defensive back, a couple of these not including Travis Hunter. But we've seen some movement there. First wide receiver drafted, not including Travis Hunter. Federoa McMillan out of Arizona a couple of days ago was the minus money favorite, but now he's minus 320. Pretty strong indications that the man known as T-Mac is going to be that first wideout in front of Matthew Golden, the speedster from Texas. First defensive back drafted, also not named Travis Hunter. Earlier in the week, Joe, minus 170. The Michigan corner, Will Johnson, was the pretty significant favorite. Now it's the Jim Thorpe Award winner for the best DB in the country in college football last year out of Texas, Jade Barron at minus 160. Joe, in those two markets, who goes first at the wide receiver spot and at the defensive back spot as well?
Well, Will Johnson, to me, is the best overall corner. I like his technique. He's a ball hawk. He's a great tackler in terms of space. That's what you want to see in terms of the next level. Again, when he was in that lineup, Michigan's defense was 10 times better and really didn't give up a lot of passing yards. When he was out of the lineup dealing with injuries, they fell apart at the seams. So to me, Will Johnston, coming from an NFL mind and mentality from Harbaugh, national champion, I still think Will Johnson over Barron, but we'll see. And now the wide receiver market, I've told you this, even though McMillan has those intangibles, right, the 6'4", 215, 220, 4'4 speed, he was hot and cold throughout the regular season last year. And again, that's where I think he can get some movement. I don't know. Golden is great. You know, he's a great, productive wide receiver, Ben. But again, I would still take Buka over both of those guys. But I still think that's the market where you'll get a team that maybe takes Golden over McMillan just because of body size and the ability to step up in big games, which he certainly did throughout the regular season and in terms of the college football playoff as well.
Emeka Ebuka right now is a minus 500 price to be a round one pick. Matthew Golden, a very high prop as well. For the wide receivers drafted in round one, not including Travis Hunter, the number is 3.5. The over has overwhelming juice at minus 313. We're probably thinking four wideouts, including Travis Hunter. Some final draft discussions on draft eve next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Some final draft discussions on the final day before it is actually draft day, the 2025 NFL Draft, and its first round starting tomorrow. Lisi, guys, we look at the overall pick odds. We have the entirety of the odds board out, 1 through 10. We have talked 1 through 5 at length, and those seem, at least 1 through 4, rather solidified. The biggest move, Ashton Jeanty, to be that 5th overall pick at this moment, now a minus 135 favorite. Joe, there was a time where Mason Graham, the D tackle out of Michigan, and when I say there was a time, I mean earlier this week, was a minus 165 favorite to be that 5th overall pick. Now Mason Graham is not favored, or even has one of the two best prices to be any of the overall picks 6 through 10. Armand Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, a plus 130 favorite to go 6th overall to the Raiders. At 7th overall, Tyler Warren at a plus 250 price, now the favorite, the Jets draft 7th overall. At number 8 overall, the edge rusher out of Georgia, Jalen Walker at plus 115 is favored there. His teammate from UGA, Mikael Williams, at a 3-1 number, the favorite to go 9th overall. And at number 10 overall, Tyler Warren, plus 380. Ashton Jeanty, plus 430. If neither of those guys are available, maybe the offensive lineman out of Texas, Kelvin Banks Jr. at plus 550 could make some sense. Joe, 6 through 10 now seems very up in the air with the move on Ashton Jeanty. So what happens 6 through 10?
That's going to be interesting because, again, what do the Raiders do? If Ashton Jeanty is gone at 5, let's just play it out to Jacksonville the way they have. Do the Raiders go, you know, trade out? Or do the Raiders stay put and then, you know, maybe go wide receiver, or do they go, you know, offensive line? I mean, you have to protect Geno Smith. He's a quarterback that needs to stay upright. He's certainly not mobile like Jaden Daniels or some of the other quarterbacks, you know, in the league, especially in their division like Bo Nix and Justin Herbert. So they might go offensive tackle or offensive lineman. That's another way to go. I think when you look at some of the others, that's where it's intriguing. Like 7 overall, 8, Carolina at 8. I think they go with Williams from Georgia. Again, a dominant defensive edge rusher. They need all the defensive help that they can get. You know, the Jets picking at 7. I told you on the early line, if they screw this up, and it's not a knock, But that, again, it's a very deep tight end class. There's no need to reach up and get Ty Warren at number 7 overall when you can get an elite offensive tackle or someone on the defensive side of the ball as well. So, again, you know, some mocks have them with Ty Warren. Schrager has Warren going to the Jets. Others have offensive tackle or offensive lineman going to the Jets. I think it's more of a team need, or if they went defensive front as well. Not, you know, 9 and 10 are interesting. You know, what do we get out of New Orleans? All of a sudden, you're telling me they went from quarterback first, not knowing if Derek Carr can make it through the season, to all of a sudden now they're going to go defense? You got to be kidding me, Ben. That is a complete 360. I still think New Orleans, you know, if they're there and Shador's not taken, I still think Shador's in that aspect. And then, again, 10 with the Bears, they're crazy because if they go for running back, they're out of their minds. They do not need a running back. I know Ben Johnson loves to run the football and have two guys with Montgomery and Gibbs, but you have Roschon Johnson. You had DeAndre Swift. The rushing attack was just fine. You got a better offensive line now. Roll with it, baby.
Yeah, and listen, Joe, I do think there is probably the idea that if Ashton Jeanty is even available at 10, you just don't pass on that guy in that moment, best player in that spot, maybe over team need. I don't think Ashton Jeanty is going to be there. It's really starting to seem as though Ashton Jeanty will not escape the top 5 of the draft order. Tyler Warren is fascinating to me, now being booked as the favorite to go 7th overall to the New York Jets. Is that an area the Jets need first and foremost? It would seem to make some logical sense under a new head coach with a new general manager to solidify the O-line, to protect the guy you signed this offseason in Justin Fields. At least that is what seems to make sense. I guess we'll see. I think the one that really stands out, Joe, to me is Mason Graham. Again, as of Monday, was the odds-on favorite to be the 5th pick. He is still minus 1050 to be a top 10 pick, and yet does not have better than a 6-1 price at any of the spots 6 through 10. That one we will dissect tomorrow. When it is draft day, Lisi and I will be back. Noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio. It's Football Full Circle. We'll talk to you then.